I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. Amen.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, sin I sang low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his saving power. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight, like the poor wretched beggar that's from fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved God's wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
That is good stuff. Amen. If I could sing, I'd sing that again. But if I did, it would kill the service, I can tell you that. I feel like my soul was just turning cartwheels. Amen. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. Been set free. I hope you know what it means to be set free. Delivered. Delivered. Amen. I've been delivered. Talk to these people talking about recovering. I've been recovered. Amen. There's nothing recovering about me. Amen. Jesus has done recovered me. Amen. Set me free. Nothing like it. I mean nothing like it. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I hope you understand what it is to be delivered. To be set free. We have, listen, that's been the theme of the service this morning. The blood of Jesus is the only thing. It's the only way to be set free. Amen. Only way. Amen. And whether you're saying amen or clapping your hands or glory hallelujah or tears running down your face or there's just your soul's just turning cartwheels right in here. Amen. If you know what it is to be set free, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. And it is being expressed in you this morning. Amen. It's either being expressed in you or by you. But if you've been set free, you know what it is to rejoice in the God of your salvation because He has set you free. I have a message that God's laid on my heart that's a word of caution for all that are here today. And so I want you to give me, as you always do, your undivided attention. I was going to take some time this morning and go into, we're going to start a project to where I feel that God would have us to raise the necessary funds between now and the end of the year to pay off our mortgage here at the church. Brother Benny and I have talked about it this morning. I've been speaking with the staff, the pastors, the deacons, and we are now under $200,000 to where we'll be completely as a church debt-free. And I believe that God wants us to be debt-free before we enter into a building program. We realize that as God continues to grow His church here, that we're going to need more space. We're going to need some more room to seat people. Excuse me. We're going to need some facilities to accommodate the ministries that God's laid upon our heart and the vision that God has given us. And so you'll be seeing in the weeks to come the thermometer scale to see how much we need and how much has been raised. And I want you to pray. That's all I'm asking you to do. You pray what God would have you to do about helping us to have that mortgage burning on December the 31st. That's the last Sunday of the year. December the 31st, and I sure would like to end this year and bring in a new year by burning a mortgage. Amen. Have a good old mortgage burning. And you say, preacher, I can't do much. Well, can I tell you little as much when God is in it? See, I'm not asking you individually to pay it off, and God's not asking me individually to pay it off. God's just asking each one to do their part. And if we do our part, listen, Brad, I'm going to tell you something. Collectively, it's yet to be seen what God can do with a group of people that'll trust Him. Collectively. We're a mighty army. Now, you listen to me. And our captain does all things well. I want to tell you. And our captain is Jesus. And so I want to encourage you now. You pray about that. And I'm thankful for what God has done. I in no way set aside the fact that we have faithful, caring givers weekly here at the church. But I'm just going to ask you to pray about what God would have you do to help us to pay this mortgage off so we can be debt-free as we enter into a building program to accommodate the vision, the ministry that God's given us here at Fellowship Baptist Church, so we could reach, so God could enlarge our coast, broaden our vision, and we could become that beacon, that greater beacon of light that God has for us here, not just here, but around the world through worldwide evangelism. So you pray much about that, and there'll be more an announcement on the big boards as the days approach. So you stay in tune for that. Galatians chapter number 6. We in our Wednesday night services, oftentimes we take a book, and if you're not part of our Wednesday night services, our Sunday school, or any other of our services, let me take this opportunity as the pastor of the church to encourage you to be a part of these services. You will enjoy, each service kind of has its own flavor to it. It's kind of like when you eat at your home. You know, breakfast is a little different than dinner. Dinner a little different than supper. And so it's that way here at Fellowship Baptist Church. The morning service has its own flavor, and then the evening service has its own flavor. Tonight, in our evening service, the Lord willing, I'm going to begin a series on the Parade of Kings, or Kings on Parade. We're going to be talking out of the double books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, on the kings of Israel and what we can learn from their lives. Hey, God introduced us to these people for a purpose, and so I encourage you to be here. In our Wednesday night services, we do verse by verse, and we just take a book oftentimes. Right now we're in the book of James, and so I want to encourage you to come and be with us for that study. We're just getting started. We're in the second verse, third verse there in James chapter 1. We've just finished up a study of the book of Galatians, and as I was rounding out the book here in chapter 6, God just definitely impressed on my heart not to preach these messages, these two final messages that God had laid on my heart on Wednesday night. So I'm going to preach them to you here this Sunday morning, not both of them, so don't get nervous. I'm going to preach one of them this Sunday, and the Lord willing, one of them next Sunday. But as I have been telling the folks on Wednesday night, let me give you a little background, so listen carefully. This is going to be brief. The book of Galatians is broken down into three categories. Chapters 1 and 2 is personal. The writer of the book of Galatians, the human writer, of course we know the Holy Spirit wrote the entire Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Now listen to me. It's the Word of God, brethren. It's not just the Bible, it's the Word of God. And so I want you to understand that. But there are human authors that God moved upon. Holy men of old spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And so the human author was Paul. And he gives us some personal background into his conversion and his call into the ministry and how God used him to become that great apostle to the Gentiles and how God prepared him for that ministry. Can I tell you that when you get saved, God has a ministry for you. And God will prepare you for that ministry. The very first thing God does is he sends his Holy Spirit into every believer to indwell. If you're here today, here is a thought that's going to absolutely, listen, it's going to go far beyond what our minds can comprehend. The God of creation lives in you. I cannot grasp that, but I know it's so. He lives in you in the person of his Holy Spirit. And so there's that personal, chapters 1 and 2. Chapters 3 and 4, there's that doctrinal. That doctrinal. Listen, if there's something that we need in our churches today, brethren, it is sound biblical teaching. Doctrine. Doctrine. The Word of God is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16. For doctrine. And we need doctrine. And Paul gives us that doctrine. But did you know that that's not enough? You see, it's not enough just to get a personal account of what God does in a man's life or some doctrinal truth about what God wants you and I to know. And so in chapters 5 and 6, God moves on Paul and says, now give him the practical aspect. In other words, what can I take from what I've heard from this man and what God has done in his life and these truths, these principles that we have been taught in chapter 3 and 4, and how can I make them practical? How can I put them to work in my life? And so he begins that in chapter 5 and 6. And he talks about this war going on, the flesh and the spirit. And every one of us fight that war. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, that war. There's this war going on in every believer. Every believer fights this battle. And it's a daily battle, a daily battle. And we're told to walk in the Spirit. We're told to yield to the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. Why? That He might produce His fruit in our lives. That's in chapter 5. Now, if you look at chapter 6, we're given some more practical information. Some principles. Principle number 1 is found in verse number 1. The principle of reconciliation or restoration. And every one of us ought to be involved. We ought to be practicing this principle. We ought to be looking for wounded. Amen. Wounded Christian warriors that need some restoration, some encouragement, some restoring back to the place of usefulness in their lives. Then he gives us another principle. That is the principle of burden bearing. The law, the principle of burden bearing. And listen, we're to bear one another's burdens, he says. And then in verse number 5, he said we ought to bear our own burden. And we talked about these things in our Wednesday night services. And then in verse number 6, he kind of switches gears a little bit, and he gives us this principle, watch it now, of receiving and giving. Now, I didn't say giving and receiving. No, that's a whole other principle. This principle is receiving and giving. What do I mean by that? We'll look at verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the Word, that's receiving. You've received, you've been taught in the Word. So if you've received Bible preaching and teaching that has helped to grow you, to grow your faith, amen, to extend and to expand your Christian experience, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth. In other words, give. Give back. Don't just take what you've learned. Don't just take what's given to you and store it up. No, share it with others. Amen. Give back. So here's a principle. The principle of receiving and then giving. You see that in verse 6? Now, we're going to come back to this principle because this is where I want to give you a word of caution. And we have another principle here in chapter number 6, and that is the principle of sowing and reaping. Of sowing and reaping. In verse number 10, we have another principle, and that is the principle of waiting and working. Waiting and working. Watch this now. Or watching and working, if you prefer. He said in verse number 10, as we have therefore opportunity. In other words, be watching now. Wait for that opportunity. Be watching. And as God gives you that opportunity, as God gives me that opportunity, I need to go to work. What I need to go to work doing? Look what it said now. I need to go to work doing good unto people, especially them that are of the household of faith. Now, as God gives me an opportunity, I need to be watching because God's going to cross my path. God's going to cross your path. God's going to cross our paths with some people that need some good done to them. And God's going to use us to do good to them, especially them, he said, of the household of faith. Now, these are great practical principles in Galatians chapter 6. I would encourage you to look at these principles in a little deeper time when you have some time just to sit down in your quiet time and look at them and say, God, would you help me to make these principles practical in my life? Brethren, this is just good, wholesome Christian living right here. Amen. And can I tell you, that's the need of our community. There's some people in this community that just need to see some good old-fashioned biblical Christianity. That's the need of our country. That's the need of our world, where people will just live out what God has said to practice in this book. Great principles. But let's get back to this principle of reaping and sowing. Look what he said in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, every time I read that, I think, that just strikes a chord of reverence in my heart. A chord of fear. Here's a man of God that said, hey, don't you fool yourself now. Don't you fool yourself. God knows what's going on. And God's keeping the records. And God sees what you're sowing. And what you sow, you're going to reap. Now there's a voice, and I want you to hold your place here and turn to Psalm 10. This voice is not new to this generation. In Psalm 10, now we're going to come right back here. In Psalm 10, there's a voice. And I know who's behind this voice. It's not a human voice. Now today, it's being sounded out through many human voices. But there's one voice behind these human voices. It's the voice of darkness. the voice of the devil, the voice of the evil one, the voice of Satan, Lucifer. Now hear me now. And that voice is saying in Psalm 10, he's saying God won't require it. God's not going to hold you accountable. You can sin and get by. God's not looking at what you're doing. God's not concerned about what you're doing. I'm going to tell you, God is concerned about what you're doing. God's concerned about what I'm doing. God's concerned. And God is watching. Look at Psalm 10. Look, if you would, in verse number, Psalm 10. Look at verse 11. Now, sometime you ought to read this whole psalm, but I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures for sake of time. Psalm 10, verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. Now here's the voice. Now listen to me, brethren. A word of caution, because I love you and I care about you. And no good shepherd, listen to me now, no good shepherd will never warn his sheep. I try to feed these sheep and I care for these sheep. But there's a time that the sheep need to be warned. And I'm warning you with a word of caution this morning. Please hear me this morning. I want to help save somebody some sorrow and some hardship in their life. Because there is a devourer out there. There is a slander. There is a devil. You know what he's doing? Peter said he's like a roaring lion. Brother North and I were talking this past week. I don't know if you've ever watched a lion, especially a lioness hunt. Oh, listen, they're very slow and deliberate. Sometimes they'll take one step and wait for minutes before they take the next step. And then they'll take the next step, very deliberate in their hunt. But when they get ready for the kill, they lunge. And in one moment, they know what they're going for. They're going for the windpipe. They want to cut off. They go for the throat, cut off the air supply. And the devil is at work. And here's what he's telling people. Now listen to me. He's telling people in verse number 11, he is telling people, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. God won't know. God does know. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. God's not going to require it, they say. And that's the voice that we hear today. You won't have to reap what you sow. The world has tried to replace this principle of reaping and sowing with the word karma. I do not have time to go into that word and the background of that word and how that word is a mockery against the principle of reaping and sowing. But I will tell you something. I'm not concerned about karma. I'm concerned about God's principle of reaping and sowing. And I want you to be too. Now, it does not have to be a negative thing. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about some negative, but I want to close on a positive. I want you to turn back just for a moment, and I want you to turn back to Galatians, and I want to remind you that God will require it. God is watching. God knows, and God's keeping the records. You, me, there's never been a person that has ever sinned and gotten by. Now, please understand this, okay? You say, well, preacher, I got by. No, you haven't gotten by. God hasn't done anything yet. The key word in that statement is yet. Okay, God is going to require from each of us. There's going to come a day of accounting. And God is going to see that we reap what we sow. Now let's look at these principles here in Galatians chapter 6. Notice with me carefully in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What does that word mean? Well, I began to get my concordance out and I began to search this word mocked, and I find that many times in the Bible when this word is used, it's used in connection with the fool. The fool mocketh at sin. The word mock means almost to snub your nose, to disrespect, to ignore while God is speaking. While God is speaking, just hold your hand up and say, I don't want to hear it. And here the man of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, says this. Don't fool yourself now, my friend. Don't listen to those voices that say God won't require it. Don't try to make yourself believe that God's not watching and that God doesn't know. He's the all-knowing, all-seeing God of heaven. And God does know. And God is not going to be mocked. You say, I'll mock him. Well, there's been people who thought they would mock him. They said, I'll mock his physical law. I'll mock his physical law and I'll defy the law of gravity. They jump to their death. You see, just because you think something doesn't make it so. You're not going to mock God's physical laws without a price to pay. And we're not going to mock God's spiritual law without a price to pay. Now let's look at what he said. First thing I want you to remember about this principle, and it's a principle of reaping and sowing. Look at verse number 7 carefully. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, and that next word is really important, that shall he also reap. So here's my point for my first point in this message. We're going to reap what we sow. That's what he said. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that if you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you sow goodness, you're going to reap goodness. But if you sow evil, you're going to reap evil. Right? You're going to reap what you sow. So we need to be very mindful of what we sow. Because whatever we sow, according to this verse of Scripture, that is what we're going to reap. That's the first principle you need to remember. Let me give you a couple of examples that I've written down here. Today in America, I love my country. Well, I tell you, last week when Dr. Thompson and Brother David and Davy and Little Davy stood up here and pledged allegiance to the flag, I got all teary-eyed. I said, praise God for heritage. Amen. Praise God for passing the baton. Praise God for family and honor and godliness and patriotism. It's dying in our country, and I'd love to see it come back. I'd love to see it come back. We need it. I believe there's a direct connection with godliness and patriotism, don't you? I believe when you love God, you'll love your country. You'll love your fellow man. I just believe that. And here the author of the book of Galatians says, you're going to reap what you sow. And I begin to think about America. In my lifetime, now think about this for a moment. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, many of you, now some of you are too young to remember this, but I can remember when people dressed different than they did now. I mean, people, they put some clothes on. Amen. They dressed up. They didn't want to dress down and look sloppy and out of place. They wanted to look clean. They may not have had the best, but they looked the best. Amen. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to have the best to look your best. Say amen with me. I mean, they just look clean and well put together. And they wanted their minds to be clean. Can I just give you a quick example of something we're reaping and sowing? Think about our movie industry. Think about our music industry today in America. Brethren, we're reaping what we've sown. See, we look at things and we wonder, what's going on in America? What's going on in our country? What's going on in our world? Why are there people shooting up people? Why are there people raping and abducting and kidnapping and robbing? And what's going on? The world's gone crazy. We've sown some things that we're reaping. You see, in our music, we think it's okay to sing about the glory of infidelity and the glory of divorce and flirting around and running around and using profanity and vulgarity and disrespecting authority. And we think that's funny. And this rap and this rock music, we think, oh, that's, you know, the young people, that's just a phase they're going through. I'm going to tell you something. That stuff is out of hell. Now listen to me. And we're reaping it today. We're reaping what we've sown in our country. There's a generation of people that listen to that, that defied authority, that cursed God, that mocked Christians, that mocked God's word. And now look. Look where we are. Divorce rate is over 50% in America. Our children are no longer safe in America. America, brethren, this great country, we're reaping what we've sown. Why? Because God's word is sure. You reap what you sow. We're doing it as a country. We shouldn't be shocked We shouldn't be shocked when our music and our movies are laced with sexual content and immorality and promiscuity. We glorify adultery. We think that this movie star and that movie star, this ball player, that ball player, we think they're great because they have 2, 3, 4 wives and they run around with other women. Listen to me. That stuff is out of hell. And we're reaping what we have sown. Why? Because God is not mocked. God is not mocked. I looked as I drove to church today and it broke my heart. And God, listen, I mean this with all of my heart. I looked around and I'd asked Sharon to drive. I had some things that was running through my mind and I began to look at all the people that had everything going on but what we have going on. And I thought, how can a country think that you can desecrate and defile and snub God on the Lord's Day and have God's blessing? Listen to me. We're going to reap what we've sown. Amen. Amen. We've already reaped it many fold, but brethren, there's more on the way. Right. Hear me now. Right. Why? Because God is not mocked. Right. We shouldn't be shocked when our young people curse God. When our women are exploited, when people have no work ethic, when people expect a paycheck without working, we shouldn't be shocked. We're sowing that. We're sowing in our children that you don't have to work if you're going to eat. Can I tell you, around my house when I was growing up, and there's many sitting here, you're going to sit down to eat, you're going to have to do some work. Say amen with me now. Well, I tell you, when you pulled up to grandma's table, you got a full day's work in before you got to eat some grub. But now we live in a society that says, oh, preacher, they ought not work. This, they're just a child. Teach them to work so when they get old, they won't have to learn. Say amen now. If you don't, you may be going to visit them in jail, penitentiary somewhere, because they took what they wanted because they didn't know how to work and earn money to buy it. Now, brethren, I don't say this to be mean-spirited. I say it as a warning from the God of heaven, from the book that's the Bible. That's, listen, this book is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper is going to be. Now, you listen to me now. And God said, I will not be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And we have lived to see it in this great country, America. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to remove myself from this industry and these industries that are mocking God. I want to reverence God, and I believe you do too. And so don't you get sucked into this, all right? Let me give you a biblical example. You reap that you sow. Man named Jacob, write it down, Genesis 27. Jacob's mother comes to him. Her name is Rebekah. And Jacob's dad, Isaac, is getting ready to pass off the scene. And he's going to give the blessing of the birthright. He's going to give the family blessing. And he's going to give it to the eldest Esau. But they had them a little plan. And Jacob's name means schemer, deceiver. You're exactly right. Schemer. Now, don't forget what that name means. Deceiver. And so they concocted them a little plan and said, we're going to deceive Dad and we're going to get that blessing. And so she brought in the goat, the kids, goats, and took the skin of it and put it on his hair because Esau was, put it on his arms because Esau was a little more hairy than Jacob. He was a hairy man. And so Isaac's eyes had gotten dim and he didn't know. So he deceived his father and he gave the blessing to Jacob. And Jacob, you know what he told his father? You ought to read this sometime. Genesis 27 verse 12, he told his father, he told his mother, he said, I don't know if I should do this. I will seem as to him as a deceiver. You think so? Because you are, buddy. What do you mean you'll seem unto him as a deceiver? You are one. You say, well, boy, he got that blessing. I'll tell you what he got. He got hardship. Running from Esau, a life filled with fear, went down and went to work for old Uncle Laban. You say, well, boy, he had it good. He's down there with all them beautiful women, preacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He got a little scheme on him, didn't he? He said, I think I want to marry that one. She's beautiful. And Laban said, well, you know, I think about 7 years of work ought to take care of that. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know how it ended too, don't you? He woke up the next day after the wedding night and realized he had the wrong woman. See, he presented the wrong boy. He presented the wrong man to his dad, and God presented the wrong woman to him. You reap what you sow. That Bible bears it out, and the Bible is the Word of God. It didn't end there. It didn't end there. You see, he finally got old Rachel. Oh, yeah. Had a son named Joseph, too. Loved him. Remember what Rebecca used to put on his arm? What was it? Goat's hair. Sometime when you get home reading Genesis 37, you'll find where his brothers took goat's blood. See, they used goats too, but they didn't use his hair. They used his blood. Dipped his coat in it, took it back to his dad and said, he's dead. Who? Jacob. Yeah. Oh, he loved Joseph. Oh, Jacob did. But you got to reap what you sow. So you be mighty careful what you sow. And God help me to be. This is a warning to all of us now. Because we're going to reap what we sow. All right? So be careful. Principle number one, you reap what you sow. Now, parents, listen to me. They're watching us. They're watching us. My children watch me. You know, sometimes this thing about parenting, we want to sow the good and hope our children will reap that in our children, but sometimes it seems like we only sow the bad. How many of you feel that way sometimes? Yeah. But now you're going to reap what you sow in your children now. So be careful what you sow. All right? That's just a warning from my heart to yours. Be careful. They're watching. They're watching what's important to you, Dad. They're watching. They're watching what's important to you. They're watching if God is worth praying to. They're watching if God is worth worshiping. Is God's word worth reading? Is God's house worth attending? Is God worth the tithe? Does God answer prayer? They're watching. They're watching. And what we sow in our children now, we're going to reap. All right? So the principle number one. Let me give you the second principle quickly. And that is, not only do you reap what you sow, but write this down. You reap more than you sow. So you take that kernel of corn or that corn plant, you throw it in the ground, you expect to get just one back. That's not what happens. John's a farmer. John will tell us that's not what happens. You're going to get more than what you sowed now. All right? That's a principle in reaping and sowing. It's a principle. Now, that can be a good thing. Say amen. Why can that be a good thing? Well, let's look again at that verse number 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So you reap what you sow. But now watch this in verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You're going to get more than you sow. Right? Is that what that's teaching? You better believe it. I sowed a moment to the Spirit. The moment that I turned to Christ and I trusted Him as my personal Savior. I remember that moment well. Now, you may not be able to call the date out. Some people can roll off the date, time. I mean, they give you the millisecond. Amen? I mean, they got it down. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'll never forget where I was. I was in an old rundown trailer. Had the smell of liquor and marijuana, just an old drunk. And I dealt down by a coffee table right there that I had put many lines of cocaine on. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That one moment, listen to me now, I have reaped life everlasting. So you reap more than you sow now. And you do too. But now, what about this as a word of caution? If you reap more than you sow, we need to be very careful what we sow. Let me give you an illustration. January 1973, something very dark happened in our country. How many of you, without me saying it, know what I'm talking about? January 1973, there was a verdict passed down from the Supreme Court of the United States of Roe versus Wade that said it's okay to kill babies. Just murder them. They had a fancy word for it called abortion. And a lot of America fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Can I tell you, that is the greatest social evil of this great country, America. It's a terrible thing. 1973, 1974, 75, people thought, well, it's not that bad. Let's just do a little reflection and see if we have reaped more than we have sown from Roe versus Wade. We live in a society, I just read this week, how many have been following it? The woman in Georgia, smiling at the cameras, waving. What's she doing that for? Well, they had apprehended her because she killed four of her five children and her husband. Stabbed them to death. 10-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old, 2-year-old. Now, that's commonplace in our society today. I could name, situation after situation after situation. You know why? Because we're reaping 1973, you see. We have taught a generation of people that there's no value to human life. We have a lot of people running around who believe, because our school systems have taught them, you come from a monkey. We ought to burst out in laughter, except there's a side of my heart that is just wailing in tears that there's people who believe that, and they have absolutely no sanctity of human life. It is nothing to them to just do, street mobs, gangs, they just kill people they've never seen. Initiation into many gangs today is just go out and find some random person and gun them down. Take their life. You say, preacher, what in the world has gotten into our country? We're just reaping a little bit of 1973. Because you reap what you sow. So that was one case. But can I tell you, since then, there's been, this is just what's been able to been calculated, 58 million murders of innocent children. Now, who knows what God could have done? Who knows how the Great Commission could have been brought to greater fruition in life? How many people could have been saved? How many diseases could have been cured had those children been born? I don't know. You don't know. Only eternity will reveal it. But not only do we suffer the lack of the life that these 58 million plus could have invested into this globe, but how about the women that have suffered emotionally, traumatically? And if you're here today and you've had an abortion, I'm not hating you. I love you. God loves you. I would do anything I could to help you. We've all made mistakes now. So don't think the preacher's beating up on you. I'm just telling you that we have reaped what we have sown in America. Brethren, we have children killing children. You understand that. We have people who have absolutely no soul, seemingly. Their soul is so dark. We now have to live where we have a wristband on our wrist and a wristband on our child's wrist in fear that some child trafficker. Now listen to me. I'm telling you about reaping what you sow. Some child trafficker is going to steal our children from the bathroom of a Walmart, a public setting, a theme park. They prostitute our boys and girls. They sell them. We're reaping what we've sown. By the way, that's not just a group corporate thing. It's personal. You're going to reap what you sow too. I am too. It's just easier to see when you look at it on a big scale like that. You look back at one of the first big major school shootings, and that was in Colorado. And you think, Columbine. That shooting, many of you remember that, don't you? Raise your hand if you remember that. Remember Columbine? Huh? Preacher, what in the world would cause people to do that? I just gave you why. It happens on a daily basis now. Sandy Hook. Oh, preacher, that's a conspiracy. Now you believe what you want to believe. There's people killing children, brethren. There's parents killing children. You knew what I'm talking about in Georgia, right? Where the woman's smiling and waving. She just killed her children and her husband. And she's smiling at the camera, waving in the courtroom. Full of a devil. All right? A person that can harm a little child. Now, you listen to me. It's full of the devil. A person that could harm and exploit an elderly person is full of the devil. But we said we don't want God in our school. We said we don't want God in our courthouses. They're trying to shut God out of our churches, and it's worked in many areas. But I got to tell you, by the grace of God, this preacher is going to preach the Bible, amen. I'm not backing off. They'll have to cart me out of here. Now listen to me. It's time for God's people to wake up. This is reality. We can't rely on Washington and our school system to change our communities. The church houses are going to have to change them, brethren. The church houses. And that's you and I. You say, preacher, I don't like to say amen. Well, there ought to be a time where we all say amen. Well, just say amen, preacher. I might not like you saying it loud, and I might not like the way you say it, but those principles are from the Bible, and I'm going to stand with you, preacher. You reap what you sow. And we're seeing it in our country. We're seeing it in our churches that are dying and shutting down. There's mission boards that are putting out calls. We need preachers to send to the foreign field. There's churches, there's communities that are saying, we have a church, but we don't have a pastor. Why? Because we are reaping what we've sown in this country. Why? Because there's a principle in God's word that says you reap what you sow. And then you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Oh, listen, I know. There was a day, hadn't been too awful long ago, where folks went to church on a Sunday morning, and then they said, well, you know what, we think we're going to take Sunday evening off. And, well, prayer meeting's not that important. Revival meeting, vacation Bible school. Now our churches are dying and closing down. Why? We're reaping what we've sown. We got traffic, I mean, heavier than it's ever been on the Lord's Day, but they're not making their way to the house of God. They're going down to the local youth sports club. Now listen to me. Got a t-ball game. Got a softball game on the Lord's Day. Working on the Lord's Day. Hey, listen, I'm telling you now, this is serious business. It's the Lord's Day, brethren. Sunday is God's day. It's the Lord's Day. It's not a time for family reunions. It's not a time to do what you want to do. It's a time to honor and worship God. Amen. And we need to get back to that. Amen. And God help me and God help you. We're not careful now. We'll begin to take these things for granted and take them lightly. What's that, preacher? That's mocking God. And the Bible says God is not mocked. So please listen today. I'm going to close with this. Perhaps there's someone sitting here today and God has spoken to you. Maybe you're saved and God has said, hey, look, I saved you to do this. I didn't save you to do what you wanted, or I saved you. I have a purpose for your life. And you've put it off and put it off. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I'm trying to help you this morning. I care about you. I could have come in here and just said a few things and we could have had a word of prayer, but I can't live that way. My conscience is open before God. I'm going to stand before Him one day, and God's going to hold me accountable, brethren. But the same God that holds this preacher accountable is going to hold you accountable. Amen. And if we want to see better days, we're going to have to get involved and invest in them. Right. We have to quit saying someone else will get it and step up and let us do it. Amen. Amen? Next man up. Would that be you? Next man up. Next man up. Man up. Man up. So, well, we need some Christians to do something. You're a Christian, aren't you? Man up. Amen. This is serious. Finally, look at verse number 9. I said, first of all, you reap what you sow. Second of all, the Bible says you reap more than you sow. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing that. Let me give you, before I get to that third thing in verse number 9, let me give you a biblical. I gave you a biblical one with Jacob. Remember David? Now, David was a good man. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, he's the only man in all the Bible that says he's a man after God's own heart. But you know, David, in a moment of weakness, he thought that nobody was going to know what he'd done. He said, I've got the power to cover this up. You know what he did? He looked on a beautiful woman, and he committed adultery with her. And he thought, I've got to cover this up. And then that adultery led, like all sin does, to more sin. He committed murder. He had her husband, Uriah, put on the front line, and he was killed in battle. There was about 5 crops that came from that sowing. Crop number 1 the baby died. Remember? Remember the baby died. That Bathsheba was impregnated. Crop number two. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. Raped her. Crop number three. His son Absalom killed his son Amnon. How would you like that? One of your own to kill one of your own. Brethren, if God holds a man after his own heart accountable, don't you know God's going to hold you accountable and hold me accountable? Crop number four. That son Absalom that killed his son Amnon undermined his father David and stole his throne and kingdom. Stole it. But you know, Absalom had to reap what he sowed too. He was killed. David just kept reaping what he had sown. So be careful what you sow now. All right? Please listen to me. I do not preach this in animosity or with a bad attitude and bad spirit. I tell you with love in my heart, you reap what you sow. And I'm your pastor and your shepherd. And I don't want to stand beside your side when you are reaping the foul things of foul sowing. I want to be there when you're reaping the good. I'll stand by you, all right? I'll stand with you no matter what. I'm your pastor no matter what. But I'd much rather stand by you while you're reaping the good that you've sown than the evil that you've sown. Final principle, verse number 9. I said, first of all, you reap what you sow. Second of all, you reap more than you sow. And then thirdly, you reap later than you sow. Look at what it says in verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, if you've been doing right and been doing good, and you say, well, preacher, nobody notices, God notices. Sometimes we do good and we just want to serve God and do right, and it just seems like that the hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Well, here's a promise from God to you this morning. You just keep doing what you're doing. God's watching. The same God that's watching those that are sowing the evil is watching those that sow the good. And God is going to come through for you. You listen to me now. That is a promise from the Word of God. I read about a farmer. He was an atheist. True story. And there was these farms very similar to like it is in our area down in the Keswick area. They were side by side. Several farms down in the Keswick area. Many of you that are from this area will know what area I'm speaking of. There's about four or five, six farms down in that area that are side by side. Nice, most of them horse farms. And I've done some work there, talked to some of the people. They're, for the most part, kind people, I'll say that. But in any event, there was an atheist farmer who had his farm that adjoined three other farmers. And for the last couple of years, it seemed as though he got the greater of the crop. And the others, he would work on Sunday. He wouldn't honor the Lord with the first fruit of his increase, and the others would witness to him and tell him. And he said, why should I do it your way? I got more than all of you have. My farm is producing more than all of yours does. Why should I do it your way? So he just kept on and on, rubbing it into these Christian farmers. Then he decided he wanted to go public with it, so he called up an editor of a local newspaper. He said, hey, I got a story I want you to print for all these Christians out there that say that you ought to honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. You ought to honor the Lord on the Lord's Day. I haven't honored the Lord with the first fruit of my increase, and I haven't honored the Lord on the Lord's Day, and I have more than all my Christian neighbors' farms. He said, I want you to print that. He said, I'm going to print it, sir. He said, but I want you to know something. God doesn't pay up only in October. See, that's the time when you reap. And a lot of people think, well, you know what? October's come and gone and nothing happened. But God just doesn't pay up in October. God knows what we need and when we need it. That reminds me as I close today of One more biblical illustration about reaping and sowing. Here's a family that didn't reap what they sowed, like Jacob. Here's a family that didn't reap more than they sowed, like David. They reap after they sow. Ahab and Jezebel. Oh, they thought they done got away with it. I mean, years had passed. Matter of fact, Elijah told them, he said, listen, he said, God's going to take care of you. And he said, the dog's going to lick your blood. And they just laughed and thought, this prophet, man, he's, oh, boy. Took 2 years for Ahab. I want you to read it sometime. Let me give you that scripture so you can write this down. Would you write this scripture down? 1 Kings 22, you'll find the death of Ahab. You know what the Bible says? This is amazing. 2 years after Elijah said, God's going to get you, Ahab. You're going to reap what you sow. He just laughed. And the Bible says they were out at battle one day, and a warrior adventure, that just means at random, pulled out an arrow and just shot it. But it had Ahab's name on it. You listening to me? Read it. Now listen to me. You don't want to go through life with God writing your name on arrows. But don't you think that God doesn't have your name on one if you think God won't require it? Because he will. And the Bible says that Ahab's just kind of going along, like, you know, I'm the king and I'm it. And all of a sudden, that arrow, that man by venture, it just says by venture, which means randomly, just pulled out a bow and an arrow and shot it, and it came down and it found a crease in the harness of the armor of Ahab. And he told his chariot driver, turn around, this is not good. And he bled out in that chariot. They parked the chariot, went in, they came back, they said, well, you know what, we're going to give it a proper burial. Went out and the dogs were licking up the blood, just like God said it was going to be. 20 years later, Jezebel thought she done got by, thinking, man, whew, God got Ahab, but I don't think he's going to get me. 20 years. 2 Kings chapter 9. They tossed her over the balcony. Went in to eat. Read it sometimes now. When they came back out, the dogs had not only licked her blood, they'd ate her flesh. You say, God's mean. No, God just means business. God's not mean. He's gracious. And he's loving. But God expects us to do what he tells us to do. You want to be happy in life? Do what God said do. Because you do reap what you sow. All right? So don't think you can do everything wrong and right come out of it. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I've been doing this a long time. I have talked to so many people that think they can do wrong after wrong after wrong, and then they're surprised when right doesn't come out of that. Right doesn't come out of wrong. It doesn't. And you do reap what you sow. Let's all stand. You say, preacher, what's the positive? Well, the positive is just that. You reap what you sow. You say, I kind of like to have some good things in life. Well, then sow some good things. Amen. Sow some good things. Do right. Be kind. Be considerate. Serve God. Good things will come your way. Doesn't mean there'll be no hardships in life. It just means God will be with you through them. And God will give you peace right in the middle of the storm. Not only will you reap what you sow when you do right, but thank God you'll reap more than you sow. Is there not a person sitting in this or standing now in this congregation that could raise their hand and say, preacher, I turned to God and now I have less than I've ever had in my life? You know what? There's not a person in here, if we went around and took from the smallest child to the eldest adult in here, that could say, since I came to Christ, my life has flourished. Oh, I've had my hard times, but I'm better off now than I've ever been. Amen. God has been so good to me. Amen. Are you listening? God's been good to me. And God's been good to you too. Amen. I have reaped far more than I've sown for God. Far more. And God still just, listen, sometimes God, I feel like I'm out on that fleshing, that threshing floor out in the barley field, and God's just just scooping up handful of purposes and dumping them on me. And that's what God will do in your life. And then you'll reap later than you sow. One day there's going to be a payday. an eternal payday. So I pray you'd keep that in mind. Let's bow our heads together.